All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam, and it's Saturday the 20th of July 2019 here in Sydney, Australia. I'll bring Tony in now just before I do a little bit more on the members and stuff, but Tony Sayers, author-researcher, plugging in with me again from all the way from Costa Rica. Tony, good to have you on again. How you going, buddy?
Hi, mate. Yeah, I'm doing really well. Good to speak to you again, Adam. Been a long time.
Yeah, we'll try and plug in a little bit more actually. And these are good times for me. It's early morning in Sydney and afternoon for you on Costa Rica the day before. Sydney's strange. Australia's hard for me with guests, you know. From different countries. I find the UK is pretty good. I have a few new guests from there, which has been great. Really awake people over there in the UK, and that's sort of nights for me. Your mornings, Americans are a little bit tricky, but it's we're a day ahead of everyone here in Australia, so the times can be tricky, so I've just got to find out time zones and make it work. But good with you anyway. Always works out well. My website, of course, is krazfiles.com, and that's C-R-A-Z-Z, krazfiles.com, and I welcome the members. Thanks for plugging in and being a member. Helps me tremendously. Can't do this without your help. And for people who hear half of these shows as well and like what you hear and want to hear the rest of the shows, basically put half the show up out there as well that go out on the RSS feed. If you like the shows and you want to hear more interesting, great podcasts that I'm doing, you can log on to the website and become a member. It's $5 Australian a month, so peanuts, and you get access to all the podcasts and some other great content in there as well as I try to improve the website and grow a little bit more. So that is that still up on social media? We're just talking about that with Tony. I'm still over on Facebook, but I've moved over to Gab now and MeWe a little bit there. More Gab sort of posting over there. Still on YouTube for the moment, but really trying to put out a lot of stuff on my website and get that going, because I was just talking, Tony, that it may be all we have soon as they start chopping everybody off, you know, these mainstream social media outlets and YouTube and everything. For us, we won't have really anywhere to go, and I'm trying to have my website as my main base and pull some people into there and keep putting out, because my website's very protected, and keep it up and running and keep putting out great content and this kind of stuff. How are you seeing the world around you, Tony, over there in Costa Rica? You're putting out some great work as usual. We're going to talk a bit about today, about some of your material on the afterlife and death experience of the human body. We all die. Our bodies stop working at one point, Tony, and we pass into this this other side. And I've done a lot of shows on this. I'm going to talk mainly about that today because you've done some really interesting work and you're putting out lots of great videos on your YouTube channel, and you've got some fantastic followers over there on YouTube. Really open-minded, great, interesting people following you there, logging in each time, and I always share them. How's all that going, and your general work and transcending times, and your work with people on cleansing them and all of this chakra work?
Cleansing them sounds funny when you put it like that. But I like they're coming over in a bath or something. It's good. I mean, I call it shit shifting, actually. You know, people. People have all these, you know, this AI, this tech on them, you know, attachments, and you know, I just do my bit to try and clear all of this and just clear the pathway, so they're not getting so much energetic interference, and you know, kind of getting rid of that voice that tells you to go left when you know you should be going right. You know, we have so much, you know, so much AI kind of on us that's kind of distorting our minds and you know, stopping us from connecting with our true selves, and causing us to, you know, to make perhaps questionable decisions in our lives. And so yeah, it's just clearing all of that for people, or not all of it, because I would never profess to have found everything, but you know, implants and tech, overlays, AI, all that stuff. So all the etheric, you know, siphoning of human energy. So that's going really well. You know, the work's growing and people are feeling difference and quite good shifts. And so it's really exciting. And for me, it's a real privilege to be able to help people just clear themselves. And, you know, a lot of people come to me, they've had a lot of trauma in their lives. And, you know, the more trauma you have, you tend to get more attachments, not even your own fault. But to be able to liberate people from that a little bit is really worthwhile and a privilege for me. And so, yeah, that's all going well. And I'm just trying to get as much information out while I can, as we were speaking off air there. You know, we don't know how long we're going to be on these platforms. And I always say to, you know, as I said to you, your website's like your home ground. So trying to get people to use your website just as much as they use your YouTube channel. So if the rug that does get pulled and, you know, the burning of the witches is already going on, then hopefully people can still access this information and find us all. So it's a challenge. It's everything's a challenge in this reality. It's like jumping through hoops and you know, just to try to swerve the system and find little loopholes here and there. And it gets a bit tiring sometimes, I'm sure. You know, for yourself with kids and stuff, it's even more difficult. But you know, that's kind of what we have to do at the moment, to find those little pockets of freedom. But yeah, you know, I'm enjoying you know, trying to play my part in bringing down this whole matrix. And you know, I see it as it might look pretty bad on the surface, but I think, you know, at the same time, they're also struggling to hold this all together and to bring in the agendas that they want to bring in. So, and that's no little part down to people like yourself that willingly do these podcasts for no, you know, little or no kind of thanks or reward, and constantly put out information for people. And so there are small wins going on all over the place. I think there's too many fires really for them to keep putting out. I don't know how many kind of, you know, cyborgs they've got that can work and kind of target people, you know, before it gets too out of hand for them. So it's a real race to the finish line. And I suppose one way of looking at it is, you know, it's exciting times to be alive and to be a part of that with people like yourself, people that are heart-based and care about our world and our future generations. Is it's an honor. And you know, the people that listen to what I have to say, and you know, despite it maybe not always being the most things that they might not want to hear, but people are very discerning and open-minded. And I'm very lucky really to have a good mature following. And you know, we just have to lead the way in that. You know, we're all trailblazers that are on the front lines. And you know, that's the role we're playing, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, it's just stay true and keep moving forward. I find this an interesting thing because I can kind of go where I want to and research what I'm interested in. Information always finds you. As well as the guests I have on, like you just seem to find each other through information. Yeah, it's not like before we had to send a letter to someone or go around their house or go overseas to find them, you know. I mean, I can just kind of go online and find you on Facebook or somewhere and bang, we're
that's
talking.
It.
So that's great to have the freedom to be able to do that. And I'm always stoked to use technology in a positive way as well, you know.
Yeah.
A positive arrow we're shooting out. So that's always a great thing. And when, you know, just one person comes on board and, you know, comes into my site and becomes a member and helps me out, I know that they're dedicated and they want to help me continue and they like what I'm doing, because it's not going to be for everybody. I mean, everyone's – that's the problem with the – with this.
Not for the new ages.
Yeah, well, you know, all this whole alternative media and everything, it's a confusing minefield, you know, and everyone thinks they have the answers to everything, and so no one's going to agree all the time, and everyone's got a problem with something that you say or do or whatever it is, so you just got to do what you think's right, and that's why our channels and websites help, because we can... It's a representation of us, and you know, we're imprinting what we're dedicated to and what we like to do. So that's important as well as we continue forward.
Well, we've got no excuse at the moment. You know, we're in the age of information, and you know, our fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers, they didn't have the internet. And so, you know, for them to find and dig out information about the occult, about metaphysical things, things of spiritual nature, it was very difficult for them. It's not to make total excuses, because there were people that have done it over time. But for us now, you know, we have everything at our fingertips. So ignorance is definitely a choice right now. And people have that choice to make in the age of information and disinformation.
That's right. Yeah. It's an amazing world, Tony. You were mentioning before helping people who have this kind of, I don't know, metals and electromagnetic sort of thing going on, or aluminum. Receivers and all of this chips and stuff that have sort of got this attachments on them. We might talk a little bit about this, because I've had some questions thrown at me in regards to that. People are saying, "Oh, what are you seeing? Looking this like? Do you think, you know, what are you seeing when you talk to some people around? And are we becoming sort of, are we merging, being merged with technology? You know." But this is an interesting thing, because we talk about chemtrails and everything. I put up a great article a few times. That's a very popular article by a guy I spoke to, Arno, and it was Aluminum and the Slave Race of the Matrix. And he talks about aluminum being a prime receiver for electromagnetic signals from information technology, and it's been used to maintain this slave race dedicated to the Matrix system, which they're doing through the technology to suck us in, I guess. So that's how it's going to get us. So it's talking about chemtrails and HARP, which is an old one, of course. I'd like your opinion on HARP. Is this all distractions because of what's going on deeper? But they're talking about this, how it affects these drones and soulless kind of things walking around with all this stuff. So this is a connection, I would guess, in the big cities and through our vehicles and all of this kind of stuff. We know about aluminum, Tony, as well, that it receives information as well. So it's a main sort of atomic element that is used to maintain the slave program. The element is a prime receiver of electromagnetic signals, and this can be proved by merely noticing that material and aerial on the radio is made from aluminum, of course. And we talked a lot about this with you, how it's in all the foods, and, you know, it's like a soy processing, and it's in all of nature, and commercial chocolates are full of aluminum. And you were mentioning that on one of our earlier shows, that we're actually eating it. It's in all the stuff that they're spraying everywhere. It's going all over our food lands. And, of course, you've got the genetically modified crops, so the aluminum, the genetically modified crops, the technology, the stuff they're putting in the atmosphere, the vaccines. To me, over the years, all seems like one, it's all connected, and that it's connecting humans into this system. As well, you've got glyphosate. There's a lot of stuff coming out about that now, but that's too late. They've been spraying that stuff over the entire planet, to the point where probably every single speck of water, no matter where you go on the earth, has got this stuff in it. And now they're crying, "I'm sorry," you know, and they're telling us all about it. But it's too late. They sprayed it everywhere. How are you going to get it out of the fabric of nature? So what are you seeing here, Tony? What's on people? What are people breathing in? What do they have in them? Can these people be helped? What's in us, Tony, and how are we being connected to this system without even knowing it? Are we like walking antennas?
Sure. Well, it's so multifaceted when we speak of AI, because AI is also in existence in the fourth dimension as well. So the kind of implants that I remove are kind of etheric implants. It's etheric AI. And so basically, if you imagine everything that they're doing to us here in 3D, they're also doing to us in 4D. So we're talking surveillance, monitoring, siphoning energy. And a lot of the technology that has recently manifest here and is starting to manifest, again, is already manifesting for these implants have been on us for a long, long time. So these are things like monitoring devices, amplifiers, where they can amplify our subconscious wounds to make them appear worse than what they are, different kinds of clamps. And, you know, even one of the implants is like the Bluetooth that they have that came out about 15 years ago. We also have that kind of implant. So if you imagine the tech that we have now coming out and being rolled out, and it's been already rolled out, it's already kind of on us in the fourth dimension. What I've recently found as well is that we have algorithms running through our bodies. So, you know, we're actually programmed to a certain extent. Also have interfaces, neural nets, neural implants. So all these things that we have in 3D, it's already there in 4D. So we have the fourth dimensional AI in the etheric, in the unseen. And then, of course, as you say, you know, we have all this stuff coming in from the chemtrails and the washing power, the washing up liquid with the nanotechnology, the nanites, the nanobots. We have this AI in our bodies, which is conscious. It can think. It can monitor our physical location. It can monitor our levels of consciousness. And what the 5G is doing is activating that nanotech within people. So we think people are bonkers at the moment. We're probably going to see them go absolutely crazy in the years as this nanotech gets activated by the 5G. And then taking on a step from there, I realize that this might sound all quite depressing for your listeners, but you know, without knowing and understanding and looking at the darkness head on, we're never going to be able to shield, protect ourselves and even move through this. And there is a solution at the end, which I want to talk about. But from there, what the end game is, and I don't know if you've seen yesterday or the last few days, Elon Musk is bringing out this, I think he calls it neuroplants or something, whereby he they want a chip in the brain, basically. They're going to sell this chip that it's going to improve memory. If you don't know, just say you go to Paris on holiday, you don't know anything about Paris, this chip you can just download from your phone, and you can download someone's consciousness, that someone that lives in Paris, and then all their information with Paris will be in your head. So they're going to sell all these benefits. You know, it's all going to be... it's all going to be wonderful. It's going to turn back Alzheimer's and, you know, all these motor neuron diseases. It's going to be finished. So there's the benefits that they always have to give you to get you to hook in and buy into it. And then the end game is they want to sell you everlasting life where they upload your consciousness onto a digital computer. And so your consciousness is trapped in this realm forever. On a big computer, and that's where it's going. And you know, the microchip in the hand is one thing, but it goes further than that with this digital consciousness, and they're going to make it all sound. We're going to see in the next few years. We're going to see what appears on the surface. What wonderful technological advances in terms of our health, and this is how they're going to get people. And as I say, the end game is well, why don't you want to live forever? Well, if you want to live forever, lay down on that bed, we'll stick a chip in the head, download your consciousness, and you can live forever. And of course, who's not going to want to do that? Because most people want to live, you know, longer than they do. And so it's so multifaceted, this, with so many aspects to the AI. And, you know, the consciousnesses that get uploaded, this is where all the smart cities come in, with the smart motorways. You know, AI is learning off of each other through the singularity, which is basically a cloud. So it's learning off each other. So, for example, let's take the automated cars, for example, that are starting to come out. So just say an automated car makes a mistake and has an accident, that will go into the cloud. So other automated cars will learn from the mistake that car made. Mm. And so your computer, your laptop, your phone, all these things around us are all learning from each other. So we're going to start seeing AI becoming, well, as Elon Musk says, it's super intelligent, and even bypass human intelligence. And they're already talking about, you know, diagnosing illnesses, so you don't have to use a doctor. You just type in your symptoms to an AI, and then you get a pill. You know, it comes out with the pill that you need to take. They're talking about that no need for teachers anymore, because you can do your courses online, and the AI will mark all the papers. You've got warehouses like Amazon and stuff like that, where, you know, the warehousemen and women are no longer needed. They've got all these bots and machinery that go and pick out the parcel, and then, you know, the parcel is going to be delivered by a drone. And so we're going to see an automated world where we don't have jobs, and this is where they'll give us this basic income of, we all get a couple of grand each a month, and if you don't toe the line of the government, you know, the only way you can spend this money is through the chip on your hand. If you don't toe the line of the system, you know, they'll turn that switch off and you're buggered, basically. And so all of this is like a tapestry with AI, all ties in together. And you know, people talk about the Illuminati and reptilians and all kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, these guys think they're in control, but let me tell you, in my work and where I am with the knowledge that I've got, AI is definitely the head of the snake, and AI is using these Illuminati bloodlines and reptilian families to make things difficult for humans, because they have their own agenda, of course, the reptilians and the Illuminati families, they have their own agendas, but AI really has got them sewn under control as well, and they're also in pods, born into AI pods, and but it's, as always, consciousness is the way out. You know, as we raise in frequency, we raise in consciousness, and if enough people can do it, and we can, you know, we can get more people to wake up and do their own inner work and you know, clear themselves and on all this kind of stuff, then exponentially consciousness is going to increase, and all this stuff will fall by the wayside, because all this AI is very dense vibrational wise. And if we raise our vibration, and then, you know, we this stuff can become obsolete. But, you know, it is a race to the finish line for sure. And I don't know if anything's guaranteed, but that's the way I see it.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. Oh, we've talked a lot about this over the years. You know, the religious idea of the devil, and, you know, all the fear and...
Yeah.
Is it the fear that the religious beliefs pump out, you know, the religious system as a whole pumps out, whether it's or whatever it is, you know, always pumping out so much fear as we go through history. And I've always thought, what is this? What are they talking about? We've spoken about it with you. What's this devil? What are they talking about? Who is it? Who's Satan? You know, because we've been hoodwinked and tricked by the movies, you know, the films like The Exorcist and all this, that people are going to get possessed by a demon, you know, and all this. And then we've talked about it as well, Tony, how they've just they're basically demonizing the human death experience. Anyone you speak to, they fear death, and they're scared of getting old, and it's all this fear and stuff like that, you know. And I've always wondered, what are we dealing with here? What is this? What's the head of the snake? It could very well be something to do with technology or something that's obviously using technology to get to us, to get in, for sure. And then you sort of got to ask yourself, well, what's behind that, behind the mirror of that, you know, behind the mask of that, could definitely be some type of interdimensional kind of entities or energy or something there that's doing it. But definitely technology is being used as a tool, as a weapon against us, in a very, very sinister and dark, a bad way, to bring us down. And I did a whole podcast just here one night, Tony, not long ago, in there on electromagnetic harassment and electronic torture and gang stalking as well, because people would laugh at gang stalking, but I thought it was important enough to bring up on a podcast because there's so many people who say they're suffering from it, and you're talking about thousands, you know.
I
don't think they're making this up, you know. There's guys all over. Yeah, there's people saying that this is happening to them. And I've had some incredible stuff sent to me from around the place talking about the effects experienced by people with this horrible kind of weapons being used on them. Remote neural monitoring or high-power microwave, bioelectromagnetic frequency, almost cooking the brain, burning the body cells. Now, this goes into high-power or frequency or intensity, I would say ultrasound. So ultrasound, I talk a lot about that with Jim West. This goes beyond the vaccination issue, because the damage is being caused inside the growing fetus in a mother's stomach. Okay, so the ultrasound, they're attacking unborn babies before they've even come out into the world. That is just satanic. With this ultrasound frequencies and technology that actually burns the bones, and it's attacking them on a cellular level, you know, it's just absolutely horrific what this technology is doing. And women are going in there pregnant with their pregnant bellies, and they're getting these magic wands rubbed on their bellies with this ultrasound technology. No. And people would not even believe the damage that this is
so
causing.
Sad.
Yeah, and I believe it's causing, we believe that it's causing the autism epidemic and almost every human, condition, negative condition, health condition, and cancer, and all these things that we're seeing today. Vaccines may be well acting as a trigger, but I think the initial cell damage is happening with the ultrasound technology. And it's in this to do with this bioelectromagnetic frequency waves and cooking people and making them, as you said, maybe go crazy. So they're talking about subvocal speech, that they can talk or speak what they want with silent, slow sound. They can apply that. They read and subvocal speech and react to it, feelings. They're talking about how they're making people depressed, how they can hear private thoughts and all of this stuff. People are saying that this is torture, that they're hearing stuff in their head all the time to drive them insane almost. There's a lot of information here about hearing voices, voice-to-skull transmission through remote neural monitoring. They seem to beam or be able to beam voices or any sound they want into people's heads that they want to target for any specific reason. Now, if hackers got into this technology, or certain companies had it, and you had you quit your job, or someone didn't like you, they could target you with it. That's what I'm seeing, or I'm reading in a lot of information that they have devices that they could target people with and just drive them crazy. Make these people's lives a miserable hell. And so, you know, I was going through a lot of terrible information here with this technology. I just wanted to get your opinion on these beams and high intensity or frequency beams that suddenly appear in people's heads. Have you done any looking into this remote neural monitoring of populations and also gang stalking of people? Because it's big enough to warrant serious concern.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I, a lot of people come to me and my work because they are very targeted. So, you know, I'd say as high as 50-60% of people that come to me feel like they're being interfered with. So, yeah, again, it's multifaceted. So we have voices in heads can often be a heavy entity attachment. or it can be AI. There's just like there's entity possession, we have AI possession. I mean, you look at Morgellons, which is a form of that, where we can feel like voices are not our own. And certainly there are energy weapons in 4D as well. So all these things that you talk about, you know, these beams and things like that, these are also etheric, and they're in the fourth dimension targeting our energy bodies as well. So, you know, I mean, you know, when you look at it, Adam, I know it all sounds depressing, but you look at how much we're being hammered. You know, how powerful are we, right, to be able to take all this shit? It's crazy. But the other thing as well that I'm seeing a lot of, and I don't know if it's the same in Australia where you are, but I'm just seeing everyone like on the news and so-called news and sports stars, and everyone's talking about mental health these days. You know, mental health awareness, mental health this, mental health that. And you know why they're doing that? Because everyone is going mental, but it's not because of mental health. It's because of the 4G, 5G. It's because of the AI. It's because of all the stuff they're doing to us. The crap in the food, in the water, the fluoride. So they're using what they're doing now is they're using this. That there's a big mental health problem because people are going to start looking up and going, "Hang on a minute, why did all these people go mad so quickly?" But they've kind of caught people with the net. Oh, there's a mental health problem, you know. So, it's genius how they do it. They set these things up in a way where, you know, it all gets diluted, and in the end, people say, "Well, we've had mental health issues for years in this world," you know, and it hasn't. It's not always been like that. I mean, this planet's always been a bit mental, but. You know, now we're seeing this constant bombardment of there's mental health problems in the world, and I'm finding it interesting to see how they're trying to stop people like you and I from still making us look like conspiracy wacks by putting this all under the guise of, well, it's nothing to do with all that what they're talking about. It's just mental health problems. People are suffering from mental health. It's crazy what they're doing to people. You know, some of these poor people that I work with, they've been targeted all their life. You know, since day dot. And because some people are coming into this world, I call them like non-human souls or helper souls, coming here to volunteer. And the system knows who they are. They use our astrological signs as barcodes to see the blueprint of the soul coming into the body. And a lot of these helper souls, you know, they've been birth bumped into dysfunctional families or they're just, you know, they have one event after the other that's really just puts them back, and so they end up spending a lifetime trying to heal themselves. And so the targeting is very, very accurate on people. And, you know, I don't know whether you experience it yourself, but when I was just, you know, in the Matrix, doing my 9 to 5, watching football at the weekends, drinking beer, I didn't ever feel energetically attacked. Now, you know, I have to really keep my energy clean. I have to clear myself regularly, and because, you know, that they're trying to get in at me. And I find that as soon as you kind of start looking beyond the veil, this is when Agent Smith suddenly appears, and a lot of this hijacking can go on. So it is difficult being quote unquote aware of stuff, and especially when you start putting content out. So a lot of people are being targeted in ways that it's not good. So
I know it's weird, isn't it, how you go along to get along and do everything that everyone else does and go to work and watch the sports and drink your drinks and watch your TV at night, and that's all good. But then once you start thinking differently, you start to get targeted in this way. It does make you feel like you're all these animals grazing around, you know, in a big field, you know, in a big open field. I've heard this before, where you can kind of go about your business and have your water and go about your life and do what you want, start to think outside the box and want to move outside that area a little bit, and you find that there's electric fences there that zap you back in if you try and go beyond that area. But, yeah, it's an assault. Tony, some information here that will scare anybody, I'm sure, about what we were talking about before, what's happening to children in the womb. Mm. I didn't know this myself. It's from new work by Janice Barcelo, and it's just in regards to single exposures to ultrasound when a woman's pregnant and they go in for that first ultrasound. That is the same as getting 250 chest x-rays.
You're joking me.
Yeah, ultrasound is listed on the website of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in a section entitled radiation-emitting products. There we're told that ultrasound is based on non-ionizing radiation, so it doesn't have the same effects or risks as x-rays. However, many, many studies have confirmed that ultrasound does in fact produce similar biological damage that is caused by x-rays even worse. Scientists have known this for at least 100 years, so in one study, and these are all their researchers concluded that a single exposure to an ultrasound produce cellular and DNA damage similar to 250 chest x-rays. The damage was permanent and heritable for 10 generations and beyond.
You're joking.
So it's actually affecting the children that the unborn child will have in the mother's stomach. Genetically.
Wow.
This is DNA damage. So they're saying that other studies have documented DNA sharing, single and double strand breaks, chromosome rearrangements, and DNA uncoiling, deformities and mutations in offspring, as well as complete deactivation of genetic material within sonicated cells. This is all to do with the cell phones and 5G's as well, which is unbelievable. So this is deep, 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 deep stuff that's happening to our children that can't protect themselves from this kind of harm by this insidious technology when they're, they haven't even come into the world, Tony. So there you go. That's what children are being faced with here. And, women are being told that this is completely safe and there's nothing wrong with it. But we are in big trouble. And I just wanted to go through this, Tony, before we talk a little bit about the afterlife experience, just in regards to the cities and technology, I've had there's some great alternative media outlets in Australia, Tot News, Ethan Nash up there at Brisbane, and The General as well at realnewsaustralia.com. These guys are doing great work. Their widgets are on my website as well. Ethan does a lot of technology news and writes some amazing articles, and he's put up a few here, and it seems, Tony, Australia is building now smart cities. We are an experiment in Australia. We always have been.
Yeah.
They experiment on us here, mostly in Australia, to a lesser degree in New Zealand, and then if it works, they roll it out to the rest of the world, but they really do experiment on us here.
Yeah.
But they're bringing in facial recognition now around the country, and this is a new article about New South Wales, where I am. Sydney is part of New South Wales. The government has now revealed plans to roll out facial recognition technology across all the public transport network systems to get rid of these Opal cards, which is a card you used to go through. So the announcement follows moves now in Queensland and other parts of the countries as well to go with this technology, incorporating biometric identification into train and bus systems everywhere. This will be airports as well. And as well, you won't be able to go in and out of the country without being vaccinated, especially with the flu vaccine. So facial recognition could be used to replace the swipe cards there as well. So this is all going to be part of these plans in Sydney, Tony, where you will not be able to get out of this system. You will, if you're a traveler going to work, have to go through these systems as everybody gets herded into these big cities and has all of this done, and we get locked into this technology you're talking about, Tony, and of course the biometric system that's going to suck us all in, the facial, retina. We're talking here about breath as well. You know, breathing, which I know you're aware of, Tony, as well. So this is going to go on to everything: payments, banks, working jobs, planes, hotels, just getting a hotel for the night and stuff like that, or your travel. So now I'm hearing here that Queensland is transitioning into this movement as well, with all their systems. So it's really it's called a biometric dystopia, Tony. So with all this facial recognition and everything like that, so and as the anti-terrorism laws get stiffer, this is all of course your driver's license, being able to have a car, your passport, national identification database, real-time facial recognition, matching that with CCTV footage, all of this. So as you're walking on the street in these smart cities, so they're putting these new smart cameras all around the place in our CBDs, Tony, as these smart city initiatives go through. And of course, I said in all the airports, this is all being pushed through by 2020, which seems to be a big date as well. So China's doing a lot of it's kind of based on China technology as well. So we're going to say, Tony, we're locked in.
I was going to say with China, I mean, you're right in saying it's already been rolled out there in a lot of ways. They have the social scoring now, whereby, you know, again, everyone's allocated a score depending on how complicit and, you know, and compliant they are. And people that buck the trend or don't do exactly what they should be doing, their social score gets reduced, which is, and this is going on now. A number of people in China have not been able to purchase a plane ticket. They've had to give their pets back. They're not allowed to put their kids in best schools or in the good schools, not that you'd want to put kids in schools anyway, but because their social score is too low. And so this is the other thing that they want to bring in with the smart cities as well, is that there's going to be a social scoring. I don't know if you've seen the Black Mirror series. There's actually an episode all about this, where basically you know, your social scoring is king, and you know, this is all influenced through social media as well, because eventually we won't have money, so you'll have like a type of crypto which is the new Facebook Libra coin probably, whereby, you know, if you get a thumbs up or an upvote, then you get a little bit of crypto, and you know, you get your basic income to maybe get a few groceries, and then you're reliant on getting your social score as high as possible to able to put bread and water on the table. And if you are like us, one of the you know, let's say cockroaches, as they would refer to us as, and you're talking about, you know, this is not right and this is not right, then your social score plummets, and you have to find another way of feeding your family and putting a roof over your head and doing simple things like traveling and getting a train, because you won't be able to do that with a low social score. So, and that all ties in with the facial recognition. I mean, do you know what, Adam? What's so concerning, it's how soon they want to bring all this in. I mean, this Elon Musk thing, I was researching yesterday with the neuro implants. He's talking about the end of next year to have this chip in the head, you know. I mean, this is on our doorsteps, and people are just not seeing it. And it's kind of scary that, you know, like the few people that are getting this. And I said on my Facebook this morning, like, kids, like, AI is already on the body. It started with the smartphones, with the handheld phones, and now you see it, like my little nephew, he's into gaming, he's got all this tech on his head, which is through the Wi-Fi, so he's getting the Wi-Fi frazzling his brain as he's playing all these games. So they're used to having tech on the body. So when they grow up and the whole idea of everlasting life, just put a chip in the head, do you think there's going to be any resistance from today's kids? There's not going to be any resistance to them, because they've fallen in love with technology. This is our problem. We've fallen in love with technology to the point where it's going to be our downfall. And that's really the sad truth. So, you know, I haven't got kids, but I mean, we should really be encouraging our kids to reconnect with nature, maybe not spend as much time on these devices. And I don't know, but we need to start somewhere, because by the time they grow up, they're going to have all this rolled out, and these kids, they're so used to technology on the bodies and in and around the body, putting a chip in just in the outer layers of the skin of the head, that's not going to be meaning anything to them. So we say transhumanism is coming and it's something futuristic. It is on our doorsteps, and it's already here, kind of thing, if you look at the nanotech and stuff like that. But yeah, the smart cities and what they've done in China, and God, how many people in China? I don't know how many billion. If they can do that to billions of people, damn right they're going to do it to the rest of the world. And there's little to, as far as I know, there's no resistance in China. I don't ever come across any Chinese people that are, you know, aware, or, I mean, they're locked down, aren't they? They can't go on Facebook, they can't go on YouTube. And that's going to be what happens to all of us. You know, everything's going to be ring fenced. We're not allowed on anything. And it's unbelievable where we're heading if we don't pull our finger up. We were speaking about this off air. People that are just looking at posts and taking in information. You got to get on the playing field. You know, you got to get on the playing field. Tell people about this. You know, we're in a war here. We're actually in a war, and you know, we don't have to approach it with fear and get paranoid and scared. We need to just say, right, this is the situation that we're in. I have two options as a human being. I can either sit here in fear and worry if what my mum, my government's going to say, what my wife's going to say about me if I speak up. Because that's the other thing, we all police each other. You know, I know a lot of people that have got girlfriends or wives and they just won't say anything because they don't want to cause friction within the relationship or in the family home. Well, I'm sorry, you know, if you've got kids, it's you know, you're doing it, you've got kids, you're doing the work. Get on the playing field. You know, we don't have time to worry about what people are going to think or say about us. We need as many active people as possible. Not everyone's going to take to a world stage. Not everyone has to do podcasts or things like that, but talk to people. You go down to the shop, you know, people are talking, about contactless payment. Tell them about, you know, what happens when we lose cash, you know, how that's going to stop our freedom of bartering with each other and how that means more control, you know. Talk to your aunt, your uncle. You know, they might not want to hear it. They might think you're crazy. Your job is not to wake them up. Your job is to sow the seed. And I've seen it before with people. Some of them will sprout, and they're the people we want to reach. You never know who's listening. And so there's little point in taking all in this information and not speaking your truth. And because we're at a very pivotal point in human history right now.
Yeah, that's right. Well said, Tony.
Sorry, I don't know where that came from. That came right from my guts.
That's right. It did, man. Absolutely. Yeah, I know. And just to back you up there as well, what you were saying, because people find it hard to believe. You were talking about that China system. That is really unbelievable, and saying here these points and stuff to be gained based on behavioral readings from this sophisticated networks and cameras as well. So they're saying that you could be classified as untrustworthy in this system as well. So that's that kind of thing that you were talking about. This is in the article that I'm reading that they're doing in China. So that's unbelievable.
Have you seen Black Mirror, Adam?
Mirror? That's these shows that are showing you what they're doing.
Have you seen them?
Yeah, just a little bit of the newest one. Yeah, but not a lot of the older ones. But it's a similar technology. Yeah.
If you want to know where our future's heading, watch. There's three series now. Watch all of them. They'll all give you insights as to where we're going with AI and all that stuff. There's one episode, I forget what the name of the episode is called, but it's all about the social score, how people are interacting with each other in the world, and they're just telling each other what they want to hear to get an upvote or a like, And so they so their social media score gets a little bit higher. And it talks about one lady, I forget what happens, I won't give it all away, but for something happens where she, I think she accidentally makes a mistake, and it upsets a few people, and her social media score goes right down, and then suddenly she, because she's got a low score, no one wants to interact with her. No, she doesn't get invited out. And then you know, then she's unable to buy things for herself. And I advise everyone that's listening to this, go on Netflix and watch Black Mirror. The first episode in the first series is a bit weird. I will say that, but they're all a bit weird. But they are so insightful as to, if you watch them, you'll know exactly where we're heading as a society.
It's crazy. I mean, I've told friends actually, you know, who are going around and in their cars in the day, I just said, whenever you're out in the working days, I'm not having a go at anyone. I'm just saying, cause I just don't take my phone with me anywhere. I don't even know where it is now. To be honest, I try and keep it away from me. But I say to them, just, you probably don't notice, but have a look at all the people on the streets and in the shops and wherever they are. Have a look at everybody using their phones. And, they come back and say, I was just looking at it yesterday on a drive through the places, and it's just every person on the street waiting for the bus, teenagers to older people, everybody inside shops, walking out of shops, waiting at traffic lights, waiting at lights, waiting in their cars, every single conceivable place that you looked in the middle of the day on the streets driving around, people were buried in their phones everywhere. And then when you start to notice it and really focus on it, you feel like you're in a weird episode of the Twilight Zone, and it's like you're driving around and it's everyone's on these phones. You go for an appointment somewhere and you know, they sit down there on their phone, they can't even read or wait somewhere or just sit somewhere and just look around and absorb absorb things around them, or just, you know, everybody's on their phone. They're whipping their phone out of their pocket every second that they can get, that they have spare. Every single spare second that they have, they're whipping that phone out, which is unbelievable. And you're kind of watching it thinking, this really is getting creepy.
Wow. I think it's just another inversion in a world of inversions. You know, what they've done is they've said that we're more connected through technology in one way we are. I mean, you know, look at what we're doing now. You're in Australia, I'm in Costa Rica. You know, we would never have connected if it wasn't for the internet. But on a personal human level, we've never been more disconnected. And what is the payoff? And I think this is causing more and more anxiety, social anxiety. People are getting more and more anxious just about daily interactions with people, because no one really speaks to each other anymore. And it's just a fake kind of, well, it's not completely fake, but it's just a distorted version of connection. And you know, they talk about cocaine being addictive and all these things. Technology, you know, you can put technology at the top of all of the addictions at the moment. And you know, I'm online too much myself. You know, I hold my hands up, but I certainly won't be getting any implants in my body, and I won't be having any chips put in my head. But the point is, these people that are addicted like that, they've developed a love for technology that kind of goes beyond the love for just connecting in a human way, on a physical level. So, yeah, it's disturbing, because it's hard to see where it's going to stop. And they're so clever in how they sell the benefits to us, you know.
Yeah, you got to try and be careful, do your study and research. I try to just sit down when I've got like podcast to doing things in the night. I update my website. I do what I need to do and trying to minimize my exposure. If you're getting too much sort of computer screen time, you're getting this EMF, you know. And, you know, this is, you know, caused a lot more damage than people think, you know. If you're looking stuff at, you know, for example, we're doing a podcast talking about, you know, using too much computer and being sitting in front of that, you know, that this is damaging us in so many ways. You know, your eyes suffer over the years, you know, your teeth, you know, vulnerabilities, the connective tissue causes vulnerabilities in your teeth. So you start getting rotten teeth and cavities, you know, this is EMF and, you know, and your bones and all of this. And I took an air flight, a plane flight away a few months ago, Tony. It was just going out into the airport in Sydney, and I was just watching everything, you know, watching everyone was just on their phones and pads and everything like that, waiting for the planes, just sort of taking notes. Before, I probably wouldn't have thought about it too much. You just sit there and wait for your plane. Now I'm sort of like an observer. You know, who's watching the watchers, Tony, and who's watching me trying to be like that guy? You know, it's that whole thing, you know, and just watching everything. And it was just almost comical, you know, like, and then everyone getting on these planes, you know, and you're getting exposed badly when you're up there. You know, this is not good for us to be up in those positions, you know. But everyone's getting on their planes. They couldn't put their phone down. They're on their phones right till the last second that they tell you to put the damn things away and turn them off. And then when the, you know, the plane takes off and you're up in the air, they can't wait to get up when the seatbelt sign goes off to get their phones down when they can use them again. And then, of course, the whole plane sitting on chairs watching these – you know, radiation emitting, EMF emitting little TV screens, you know, your TV screen on the backs, on the back of every seat that you got. So you're watching your movies and entertainment because they've got to watch, you know, episodes of Friends and Seinfeld or movies on the plane for their flight. And of course, everybody on the flight is resting their heads on the seats, and those seats, headrests, have monitors, TV monitors in there. And so that energy is going right through the back of your skull, through the whole plane. I just thought, this is incredible. This is incredible. And you're not even off the plane yet, you know, and it's just massive exposure. Everyone's got to be entertained with that. And they get off the plane, they're on their phones again, and they're in the cars. It's just, wow. It's like, we have to have, and that's what they're pushing 5G for, Tony. I'm seeing all the telco ads now. I've told you that before, I think. I'm watching on TV. They're pushing this 5G beast, this monster, they're putting it everywhere. They're disregarding what people think. We've got massive pushback in Australia. We've got huge social media groups starting.
We've actually
got big community groups in Australia. They don't want it, and they want this studied before it gets put in, and they're ramming it through. And there's no study done on this. And they're telling you on the ads that it's all just to get information faster. And they've got people camping, for example, and they're on their phones watching episodes of Netflix or whatever, and they're on trains watching TV shows on their smartphones, and it's like, you're going to get all this faster now, and it's like, that's you know, we're going to kill ourselves so we can watch you know, episodes of Friends quicker, or old episodes of TV shows or whatever on our smartphones, and we can log on to Netflix and listen to Spotify and everything and watch YouTube channels even if we're out in the middle of nowhere. That's what I want it for. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's not even needed. It's technology on overdose, on steroids, that's unneeded and unnecessary and dangerous, you know?
Crazy stuff. But, you know that I think, again, just kind of ending this on a positive, they have to keep this reality in a dense vibration, and the easiest way to do that is through all these EMFs and 5G and radioactive dense soup that we're in, because they know that there's frequencies also coming down on the earth right now that are also helping people wake up, and there is a consciousness awakening at the same time. So we can't you know, we've spoken about a lot of things here, but we can't lose the sight of the fact that, you know, I think that ultimately they're probably more scared of us waking up than what they can do to us. At least it might not appear that like that on the surface, but consciousness is the way out, and we just need to approach this with courage, get active, and just let people know what's going on and do our own work and get ourselves clean and you know, detox. And you know, when we do that, that sends out our own frequency into the ether, which helps other people. And, you know, I think when we talk about these things, we have to, you know, look at the bigger picture as well and look at why they're doing all this to us. The reason they're doing all this to us because they're bloody scared that we're going to wake up and their food is going to disappear. And that's what we will do. We just need more numbers and we need more people, you know, doing the work.
That's right, Tony. And people may think that we're being a bit negative talking about this, but I don't think so, because I think we're talking about it in a positive way. It's just how you see things. Mm-hmm. You know, you absorb things, you work it out like a Rubik's Cube, you shift it around your head, and then you come up with answers and results to improve your life and the others around you, and then share information with everybody. So we can't just ignore it. It's there. I just told people they're putting it in Sydney right now. They're putting in smart cities right now. So if you go to get on a train, you're going to be part of this. There will be no way out. You know, how are you going to travel to see friends and everything like this? We're being brought into this, so it is happening. We can't just put our heads in the sand and ignore it because it's a dark or negative thing. We need to break it down as humans. That's why I feel like I'm here, Tony, to learn and try and break all this down. And you know, even if it does get us in the end, we can at least we'll be aware of it and we won't completely forget about it, because with all the aluminum now, Tony, a big condition is brain disease and brain problems amongst the population, and we're getting huge surges in dementia and Alzheimer's as well, and it's getting younger and younger. I'm seeing it on TV now with the ads, you know, the even younger people are getting Alzheimer's now because of all this stuff and what's happening to people, and this aluminum, I think, as well. And it's amazing, you know, we're going through our lives and all this is happening, and then we're getting to a certain age and we're just forgetting. So, you know, they're bringing us through a life experience, making us forget, and then shoveling us into a grave, and then possibly bringing us back again to use us again. So, you know, an incredible thing. Tony, we're up to the hour now exactly. We don't have enough time today to talk about where we go when we die, because this is such an important topic, and I think it deserves an entire show. So I'll ask if you have the time, if you could do a part two to this episode, and go into this. I think it's well worth it, and I give you the floor to sort of go over this life and death experience, if you have the time to do that.
Yeah, absolutely, I've got the time. You know, this show's been important. It's gone where it needed to go. AI needs to be spoken about. But yeah, of course, I'll come back and we'll speak about that. Sure. And just want to encourage people that, you know, we do hold the keys in all of this, and we just need to bloody well wake up.
That's right. And no, Tony, I've done a lot of shows on the afterlife experience and stuff like that. And I think it deserves a whole show. And I think we'll go into it and a lot deeper. But yeah, too important today with all the technology issues and stuff like that. So we never plan anything. The show, each one is like a fingerprint and it goes where it does.
Exactly.
But I'm very interested in some of your latest work on this. And if we are being tricked at the point of death or in this afterlife experience. So I've talked a lot to researcher Wayne Bush. He does like 2-hour shows and months of research on NDEs and stuff like that. Very nice and incredible guy, and his website's Tricked by the Light. I'll just plug it for Wayne. How souls are programmed to go to the moon, sun at death to be recycled as energy, a theory of life and death, how to win the game of life and escape the prison planet Earth, which is an illusionary matrix that we dream. That's Wayne Bush's website there, and he goes through all this as well, this whole afterlife experience, dreams, who we really are, energy, what happens, are we being recycled and tricked by the light to come back here, how do we escape this? Is is life just a game, Tony? Mm-hmm. You know, are we playing a game on ourselves
to
see how we react to this game? If we're going to go down a good path or a bad path, we don't know yet. But at least we can try and break it down. So whenever you can come back, even next weekend or the one after, you let me know. I'll keep in contact, and we'll go through this as deep as we can.
Absolutely. No problem at all. Love to.
Thanks, Tony. You want to mention anything before we go?
No, just, like I said, just we need to, there's never any negative to knowing truth, no matter how dark it might seem. It can only ever empower and help shield us. And we just need to take a positive approach to it and just do all the things that we know we need to do. But if anyone wants to check out any of my other work, I've got the YouTube channel there, and my website's transcendingtimes.org. You can find me there. So I've got lots more information about all this kind of stuff. And I just want to say thank you to you for pitching in and doing what you do, as always.
Thank you very much, Tony. I just love speaking to people like you, and I'm still learning myself, very much so. I'm surprised every day how little I know. I'm just here learning and enjoying it, and this is great. I never did well at school, I've told you that, you put me in a school or university, I'm like a fish out of water. Everyone's looking at me like, this guy doesn't belong here, this guy does not belong here. But this kind of stuff I love and always have, it's interesting, isn't it, how we're all different like that. I mean, people go to school and university, that's fantastic, they have great jobs and work away in the world. It's just, for me, it didn't work. But this kind of stuff, I really absorb much faster and I learn quicker. Yeah. So always, absolutely. But, we just continue forward, Tony, and great to speak with you. Hello to your listeners. Hope they're all well. And we'll speak again very soon, Tony, and continue this as a second part.
All right. No worries. I'll speak to you soon, Adam.
Thanks, mate.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.